Good morning. My name is Michael Hickox. I'm an evangelist with the Olney Church of Christ. We are a group of Christians who meet here in Olney at 220 North Van Street. We meet at 9:30 on Sunday mornings for Bible study, 10:20 on Sunday mornings for worship, 2 p.m. on Sunday afternoons for worship, and 7 p.m. on Wednesday evenings for Bible study. We welcome visitors. If you would like to join us as we assemble together to worship God and to study from His Word, we also offer in-home Bible studies. If you would be interested in studying from the inspired Word of God to learn more about who He is and what His will is for us, we would be happy to study with you. You can contact us at 217-218-0803. You can also contact us and learn more about us through our website, which is olneychurchofchrist.org. The website, again, is olneychurchofchrist.org, and the number is 217-218-0803. This morning in our program, we will notice some things that Scripture teaches about the cross of Christ. God the Son existed before He came down to this earth and took on human form. In fact, He has existed from eternity, but He came down to this earth, as we read about in Scripture, and took on the form of a man. And as a man, He lived a perfect life of obedience before going to the cross and dying, and then being raised the third day and ascending back into heaven to be with the Father. And as we think about the death of Jesus Christ on the cross, there are many important lessons for us to consider, and we'll look at some of those here in our lesson this morning. If you'd like to turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 13, this is the first passage we will look at here this morning, Acts chapter 13. One of the things we want to consider as we reflect on the cross of Christ is just how sorrowful of an act or an event this was. It could be said that the death of Christ on the cross is the most sorrowful event in the history of the world. And one key reason why this is so sorrowful to think about is brought out here in Acts chapter 13. Here in this chapter, the Apostle Paul is preaching at Antioch in Pisidia, and he references the Jewish rulers in verse 27 who were opposed to Christ. And notice what he says about them in verse 28 of Acts 13. And I'll be reading from the World English Bible translation this morning. He says, "Though they found no cause for death, they still asked Pilate to have him killed." Though they found no cause for death, they still asked Pilate to have him killed. Jesus is perfectly innocent, never done a thing wrong, and yet he was mocked, he was beaten, He was spit upon, and ultimately he was crucified on the cross. This is a very sorrowful thing as we consider Jesus' perfection and yet how despicably he was treated by those who killed him. But though the cross of Christ is perhaps the most sorrowful event in the history of the world, at the same time, when we think about Jesus giving his life, this is the most wonderful thing anyone has ever done for our good. Notice what is said over in Romans chapter 5. In Romans chapter 5 and in verse 8, there it says, "But God commends his own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." From man's perspective, Christ's death was a most despicable act of hatred. But from God's perspective, thinking about what God did, it was a most wonderful act of love. Christ died, it says, for us. His death on the cross is the most wonderful sacrifice anyone has ever made for our good. And understanding how the death of Christ on the cross is for us requires us to understand what our greatest problem is. And our greatest problem is the problem of sin. Notice back in Romans, the third chapter. In Romans, the third chapter, and in verse 23, there the scripture says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Each one of us who has reached the age and has the mental capacity to be able to know right from wrong, at some point, each one of us has sinned against God. And we might ask the question, well, what significance does that have? Knowing that at some point we have sinned against God, the significance of this is identified over in Romans, the sixth chapter, and in verse 23. In Romans, the sixth chapter, and in verse 23, the first part of that verse says, "For the wages of sin is death." When death is referred to in Scripture, it refers to a separation, and it can be referring to physical death, spiritual death, and or eternal death. And here in this context, it is evident that it is referring to spiritual death, which involves separation from God, and ultimately to eternal death, which means eternal separation from God. And so in layman's terms, what this means is that as a result of our sin, and each one of us at some point has sinned, as a result of that, we face eternal condemnation in hell. There's nothing we can do by ourselves to change that. If it were not for the death of Christ on the cross, we would have no hope of anything after this life besides spending eternity being tormented in hell. The death of Christ on the cross made it possible for us to escape the wages of our sin, which is that eternal death. And instead of facing that, through Christ, we can receive eternal life. Notice there, the second part of Romans 6:23, it says, "But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." So what we earn as a result of our sin that each one of us has committed at some point is eternal death. What we can have through Christ and what He's done for us is eternal life. That is the significance of the cross of Christ and what it means for us. And there's three terms I want to consider this morning that help us better understand what the cross of Christ does and why His death on the cross is so significant for us. These three terms are justification, reconciliation, and redemption. And we'll go through each of those individually to better understand what they have reference to. If you turn back to the fifth chapter of Romans once again, in the fifth chapter of Romans, looking this time at verse 9, after referencing there Christ dying for us, verse 9 there of that chapter goes on to say, "Much more than being now justified by His blood, we will be saved from God's wrath through Him." So notice here that the blood of Christ is connected to us being justified. The blood of Christ is connected to our justification. Now, as we think about that term, justification, that term refers to being found not guilty. And so what this means is that even though each one of us at some point in our lives has sinned against God, each one of us has the opportunity, if we will accept it, to stand before God and be pronounced not guilty. That is the justification that is made possible for us through the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed on the cross. Notice also what is said there in verse 10 of Romans chapter 5. Verse 10 of Romans chapter 5 says, "For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we will be saved by His life." Notice there something else that is connected to the death of God's Son, Jesus Christ. It mentions being reconciled to God. Might ask the question, what does reconciliation have reference to? And this goes back to understanding what spiritual death is. Spiritual death involves us being separated from God. At one point, we all were in fellowship or in harmony with God. But when sin enters a person's life, that sin separates him or her from God. That sin creates a barrier, we might say, between that person and God, as that person falls out of fellowship or out of harmony with God. And if we die physically, being dead spiritually, that is being separated from God, then we will face eternal death, which is eternal separation from Him. But what the cross of Christ makes possible is this reconciliation to God, which involves being brought back into fellowship with Him, being brought back into harmony with Him. It is possible for us to have that because of the death of God's Son, Jesus, on the cross. And so justification and reconciliation are two things the Scripture teaches are possible as a result of the cross of Jesus Christ. But a third thing that is possible that helps us understand what the cross of Christ means for us is this word redemption. And we see this referenced in Ephesians chapter 1. In Ephesians chapter 1 and in verse 7, there, as the Holy Spirit has been talking about Jesus Christ, verse 7 there says, "In whom we have our redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace." The word for redemption is a word that refers to being set free from bondage by payment of a ransom. And here in this verse, redemption is connected to the blood of Christ. And what this means is that as a result of the death of Jesus on the cross, we can be set free from the bondage of sin. His death paid the ransom price to allow us to be set free from sin. He paid the debt we cannot pay when He died on the cross, making redemption possible for each one of us. And so it is possible through Jesus and His death on the cross to be justified, that is to stand before God uncondemned, even though we have sinned against Him. It is possible for us to be reconciled to God, even though we have sinned and thus fallen out of fellowship with Him. And then thirdly, it is possible for us to be redeemed, not because we've done so many good works that we earn that redemption, that we pay that ransom price, but that Christ, through His death on the cross, makes it possible for us to be set free from the bondage of sin. And so putting all of this together helps us understand how the death of Jesus on the cross did so much for us and ultimately enables us, allows us the chance to escape eternity in hell and instead spend eternity in heaven with God. But as we think about the cross of Christ, we should not get the idea that because Christ did all of this for us, that implies there is nothing needed on our part in order to receive these blessings that God offers us through His Son. These individuals the Holy Spirit was addressing, who He said were reconciled to God, they were redeemed, they were justified, they had been forgiven. These are Christians who are being written to, who had done and were continuing to do what was necessary in order to receive the blessings made possible through Jesus' death on the cross. If you look over in Acts chapter 2, in Acts chapter 2, notice here in this passage The Apostle Peter, who was speaking by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, was addressing some Jews who were very directly guilty of delivering Christ to be crucified. And upon hearing the truth about Jesus, verse 37 mentions these individuals were cut to the heart, and they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And notice verse 38, what Peter says in response to their question. He said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Notice that phrase there, "for the forgiveness of sins." We have identified in several passages that we have looked at this morning that it was necessary for Christ to die on the cross in order for us to be able to have forgiveness of sins. But here in this verse, we see something else that is connected to the forgiveness of sins. Notice that repentance and baptism in the name of Jesus Christ are commanded by the Holy Spirit through His apostles in order for us to receive forgiveness of our sins. And so while the death of Christ on the cross makes forgiveness of sins possible, there's something that is needed from us in order to receive that forgiveness that He offers us through His death on the cross. And not only is it necessary for us to submit to His terms for becoming a Christian, getting into Christ, as these individuals did here in this chapter, when you notice down in verse 41 what they did, but it is also necessary for us, after we become Christians, to continue to live obedient lives in order to continue to be right with God. Notice what is said over in 1 John chapter 1. In 1 John chapter 1 and in verse 7, here the inspired apostle is speaking to Christians, and he tells them, "But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ His Son cleanses us from all sin." Notice here the reference to the blood of Jesus Christ cleansing us from all sin. This morning we have noticed the significance of Christ's death on the cross and the forgiveness of sins made possible through that. But here in this verse, the Holy Spirit tells us that there is something needed on our part in order to receive that forgiveness, that cleansing. He says, "If we walk in the light." That is, if we live lives of obedience to God. And so as we reflect on the cross of Christ and recognize the salvation made possible through the cross of Christ, we should be motivated to do what is required of us in order to receive that forgiveness of sins that Jesus offers as a result of His death on the cross. Not only should the salvation that we can have motivate us to obey Christ, but we should also be motivated to obey Him when we think about all that He has done for us. There is a hymn that asks a question that we all want to consider. It is a hymn titled, "I Gave My Life for Thee." And in that song, The question is asked, and the question is one Jesus might ask of any of us. I gave my life for thee. What hast thou given for me? Jesus died on the cross for each one of us. What have we done for him? We should be motivated as we think about his death on the cross to obey him, to give our lives to him. We love him because he first loved us. And loving God, as we find in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3, loving God means keeping his commandments. When we think about the death of Christ on the cross, the salvation made possible through that death, we should be motivated to submit to him in obedience, recognizing the salvation that is possible for us because of that death, and also recognizing we should give our lives in service to the one who gave his life for us. Each one of us this morning who are looking in on these things taught in Scripture should consider this, as Jesus' death on the cross is something that was for each one of us. If you have questions about what specifically it is that Christ requires of us, or you have any questions about something said this morning, or just would like to study the Bible more in general, we would love to study with you. You can contact us at 217-218-0803. And our website is allneechurchofchrist.org. We will conclude our 30-minute lesson here this morning with a hymn from the Favorite Hymns Quartet. Thank you very much for listening, and have a wonderful day.